you all hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. That was a beautiful introduction. Thank you, Meg, for all this hard work. And thank you, Tracy. I'm just going to start reading some poems. This first poem is called Elements. There must be a train station never arrived at. Smoky boxcar teak and rum. A dark Jamaican who won't say a lot. Eyes, small dimes behind frames. Furniture heavy but attentive to a woman speaking in oboes. Clay Florida moons under her nails. Think agreement. Bouquets beneath polyester. And somewhere between Rochester and Milwaukee, eyes latch and hold. Possibly baseball cards, a pint of hot dam, or cardboard town scraping a dark landscape by. Think someone nearly gorgeous, a name without a saint, loyal to the Mets, an optimist. Ways we fall asleep, hands entwined, crook to crook rocking. Some dreams, they don't arrive on the backs of tossing ponies. But for now, everything is beginning. The boxcar and muscular silk against closed eyes. His sleepy way of guessing the number of miles by the dust in her hair. I am going to read The Killing Wait for the Telephone. Hello. In my home, 700 miles east of this phone booth, you spin the one record you like best. It is good to take scotch slow. Etta James, at age 23, a pool hustler's unclaimed daughter, knew the truth when she walked into the studio and laid down tracks to her platinum and permanently fractured heart, proving there is reason to learn and remember every note, to drink what burns slowly. In my phone booth, 700 miles from my home, the receiver is sticky, the ringing continues. My eyes take in tin shacks and nattered fields, but I do not leave a message. You'll find the way, following the Gandhi dancer's sweat song. The girl in the bar, beaded like a glass bottle, skirt hitched and his lips on her neck, making music of her while together they dance. These are the tracks. This is the better story. The one that wakes you up satisfied. The place my voice is an unnamed animal in a kingdom of impossible things, where Etta sings a burn that travels a body slowly, where everything you have is enough. This next poem is called The You in this poem, and I was told by one of my teachers that having all of these yous, these unidentified yous in the poems, she said, that's a rookie mistake, you know. You gotta watch that, you gotta know who that you is. And then I looked at my manuscript, of course, which is full of all these unnamed yous, and I thought I should write a poem to the you. So this is called The You in this poem. The you in this poem doesn't have to try hard to be the one raw with trumpets and lightning broken across a crowded room, something we all are brighter and suddenly foreign for, as if we'd forgotten the archipelago of our bodies or the salt in all directions calling out our name. The you in this poem doesn't so much speak as stir a darkness of loosened feathers, claws and tendrilled weather upon our eyes, our open mouths. No telling why the music carries or what might pry those ribs open. I'm not sure which equation might rescue you from your own skin. I'm saying, I like sky when you speak it. I'll never care which latitude. Even if you leave your body by the roadside for the crickets, I'll recognize the spine bowed as Herodotus beneath the story, the sore knees, the bruised and perfect mouth. I know just how to find you, no matter what the distance. I'll hear the pastures singing back our voices, a blade of grass for every tongue. Vertical hold. And folks who came to the lunchtime talk this afternoon, I think I was talking about how I edit and edit and edit and edit and edit. And this is a poem that I just finally finished the edits on, and you'll be happy to know that I called in to the editor and finalized the draft. And I changed, I made this change. I changed the name of this poem. So it's done. It's done. Vertical hold. Fall. Radio silent, into the traffic of variables working themselves around the fact of your head. After surgery, he does not want to come back. Everybody says, go there, says, sorry. You damn well know your grandfather's bedside awaits. His Brogan stalled on the back stairs, his margins overrun with handwriting. Their mouths stitch themselves around the question, when? You are on the way, your body crackling with the static of Pennsylvania electrical storms. Cows pinned down the acreage with indifferent hooves, and your cars overrun with guitars, with sad boy voices, sad leather boys with hair drizzled down their backs, boys pretty enough to sing loose the rusty irons through the waxen wrists of Jesus statues. Harmonies loop and reel against bait shacks and strip malls until Delaware falls away, a three-syllable scab lost to weather, until Virginia's slow farmhouses curtsy and go, until you stop for coffee and push the tractor trailers around the plate with your fork. Keep your blood threaded with sugar and taillights blooming down the coastline until you can consider the mechanics of impact fall in the angle his cursive leaves, fall as his darkness can be pulled back in sheaves and dropped into a distance whittled by careful instruments and determination, a thing to be held in both hands. Fall until you can land needle clean, until you can be streamlined, the dark name carved into the tree of his heart. Gig. Their lives are better without you. Look at the moon faces and raised champagne glasses in this photograph. The dismantled flowers on the church steps. He married last week, and the girl, when you meet her, is well-ironed, kind. Good thing Austin is just one in a string of occasional places. And you, a girl with a Stratocaster, growling mud and chrome into microphones, you can't stick around long. After the set, you will all be a litany of vectored facts, talking a scalloped edge around the sweet tea, six eyes, parsing the differences between then and now. More creased, more safe, more of each of you. What is there to speak? You are alive within the memory of your own skin. You will be whatever creation you choose for the onstage hour, eyes moldering or not, heart lurching or not. Tomorrow is another town with contracts and cheese danishes, but tonight, play them a broom jump. Call it. Wear out. Be new. The City Wear. Was narcotic, always is, the breakneck and leaving, our bodies lean and strange from one to the next gone. This is how good stories are made to crawl from skin, to snake the hips like interstate, to tug and swallow that music whole. Halfway in, the syntax of the country falls down. Turns out our dictionaries are wrong. Turns out we are not at all what we expect. Each song, a city best arrived at, empty. A place to keep snow in slow motion falling, falling. And I do want to read every answer as yes. Every answer is yes. And guitars burning us up, quick as malaria, strapped into the high bucket of secondhand Buicks, speeding away always, and always dumbstruck by the drums trundled in our bones the whole interstate home. We love the basement band, drenching us cotton-eared. We love our pomade and polyester bodies smashing their atoms against other bodies, our habit of becoming massive bumper crops of noise. Sharpened with sweat and honey glaze, we are kindling. Snake hips swerve to iced Ohio hairpins. We are tucked chins and tuned limbs set for everywhere past curfew. past subdivision tree lawns crackling black crackle like alarm clocks. This blood hollers all the linking verbs by heart. The jewels inscribed within each congruent and uprising integer, the many, many ways in which we are not small and not sleepy. We are burning with a pure velocity through cassettes and frost-stunted tulips. We love the way we carry power cords in our teeth and wind loops around the block with time to kill. We love and we love and we love, and it doesn't ever matter if we get there. This is another title that I just changed, and I realized this is called now, When We Get There, We Are Gone. When we get there, we are gone. We can only sing razor blades over the brim of Nashville, can only permit the fiddle to scrape against something familiar in our blood, to rise all the ghosts to the surface and call our names from the hushed canebrake beyond the gas station's sad halo of light. Some places need to be traveled through. We know that language won't survive past Ohio. We will fall fast and out of time. The fracture will be exquisite. Soy fields and early frost whipping by is what we have. A few hours and the urge to punch it down to the floorboards, to let those horses out, those gorgeous miles raced alongside all of us pretending to dream. I just have three more poems left. This poem is called Starlight Elsewhere. Hunger is an old story, a threadbare afternoon torn open as if by mice in the bones of a cold house. The family, that weird station, that series of events, we will never be enough. Kick yourself off on another adventure. Whatever story you need can shout itself loudly over the gutted rooms. It is not fate. This is firewood. You are not lost. You are transposed. You are starlight elsewhere. Someone's grass-stained child overrun with rain, the taste of bitterness. Your red mouth and weak eyes. You are not gone, not vanished. You are flying, hair blown back. And in this posture, this constant motion, look how suddenly you belong, how old circumstances fit you like bad shoes, same as anyone. Even before you reach the pier, it is plain sky broke its promises and crumbled into sea, how light becomes a kingdom of salt, how the sea continues restless and tossing, your name within it, a small muscle, a smooth and silent stone. This is called On Holiday. This is, I grew up in Ohio where we don't have the ocean or riptides, and so I never knew how to negotiate those kinds of things until I came here. And I didn't realize if you got caught in the riptide, then the thing to do is to swim parallel to the shore. But luckily, I'm strong, and my friend who was with me had a very, very loud voice and was able to give me instructions as we swam along, so I didn't get dragged out to sea. So this poem is inspired by that, although it's placed in a different location. It's called On Holiday. Your ribs were carried off, perhaps, towards Namibia. You thought it was very unclear. The water was narcotic. It blew your ears out like cheap speakers and left your brain rattling its tin. At one point, you were sure you heard the streets of Mindelo hushed with fado dancers, soft black shoes, and hundreds of girls twirling clockwise. Then the waves deepened, moved slower, and the shoreline disappeared. Your friends were not thinking of you. Stuffed with ham sandwiches and red juice, they were sleepy and glazed in coconut oil. They were going to burn. You were not thinking of them either. You were halfway to Namibia. From the muscled water, you called, but the words pelted your face like wedding rice. So you stopped, let your arms go, cast iron heavy in the salt. Eventually, you climbed ashore. Sharp rocks opened your souls, and you understood your weight as more than just thrashing. Your friends beneath their umbrellas.